Welcome to Roots and Hustle, the podcast where African youth stop hustling blind and start building legacy. I'm your host, Waka, an engineer, entrepreneur, husband, father, and most importantly, a believer in Africa's future. Every week, we have real conversations about money, mindset, manhood, and womanhood. We also tailor our movement to young Africans by showcasing the tools we need to break the cycle of poverty and build generational wealth. If you're ready to stop running in circles and start building something that lasts, then you're in the right place. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. It's Roots and Hustle. Let me ask you something. If tomorrow your landlord doubled the rent, what power would you have to stop him? Pretty much none. If your boss decided to fire you, how much control would you have over your income? None as well. If your government sold off land in your village to foreign investors, what could you do? If you don't own, you can only watch. That's why I say ownership is the real freedom. Because the man who owns can't be pushed around. The woman who owns doesn't beg for space. She decides. Too many of us have confused freedom with survival. We think freedom is having a job, having a little money in our pockets, or being able to pay rent for one more month. But that's not freedom. That's a chain with a longer leash. Real freedom is ownership. It's land you can pass to your children. It's a business that puts money in your account while you sleep. It's assets that work for you, not you always working for someone else. In this episode, we're going to tear apart the myths, expose why we've been locked out of ownership, and lay out the steps to reclaim our future. Because if we don't own, we don't control. And if we don't control, we don't build. Let's get into the heart of it. Why do I keep saying ownership is the real freedom? Because here's the truth. When you don't own, you don't control. And when you don't control, you're always at the mercy of someone else's decisions. Look at the Gambia today. Take a walk around Serekunda Market, Kariba Avenue, or Westfield. Look at the corner shops, the wholesale stores, the hotels, the fuel stations. How many of those are owned by Gambians? Very few. The majority are owned or controlled by foreigners. Let's say Lebanese, Mauritanians, Senegalese, Chinese, Indians, and others. Now, don't get me wrong. Foreign investment is not automatically a bad thing. We need investors. We need international trade. But here's the problem. When foreigners own the majority of the businesses in your country, they also own the power to decide your future. The numbers tell the story. Nearly 18% of Gambian companies have foreign ownership stake. That figure rises sharply for medium and large businesses, meaning the bigger the business, the less likely it's Gambian owned. Add that to the fact that foreign direct investment now makes up close to 10% of our GDP, one of the highest rates in Africa. Compare that to just a few years ago, when it was 1%. That's not growth in Gambian ownership. That's growth in Gambian dependence. So let's ask the question nobody dares to ask. What happens if one day those foreign owners decide to pull out? What happens if there's a boycott, a global crisis, or even political tension? The impact would be devastating. Overnight, thousands of jobs would disappear. Prices of goods would skyrocket. Supply chains would collapse. And Gambians would be left scrambling. Not because we don't work hard, but because we never built ownership in our own economy. Let's be brutally honest here. If your landlord is foreign and he decides to double your rent, what power do you have? None. If the biggest shop in your neighborhood is foreign owned and they decide to raise prices or shut down, what can you do? Absolutely nothing. If the factory employing hundreds of Gambians is foreign owned and the owner decides to pack up and leave, what happens? You're employed but someone else's decision. That is not freedom. That's dependency. And this is where it gets dangerous. A people who don't own are always vulnerable to price shocks, vulnerable to foreign manipulation, vulnerable to being written out of their own story. But here's the part that hurts most. While foreign owners build generational wealth off our soil, our people remain stuck in survival mode. They send profits home while we spend wages on rent and food. They pass on assets to their children while we pass on poverty to ours. Ownership, my brothers and sisters, is not just about pride. It's not just about dignity. It's survival. It's freedom. Because if you don't own, you don't get to decide your destiny. Someone else does. This is why we must treat ownership like oxygen. Without it, we suffocate. With it, we live free. Now, let's get real about the cost of owning, because this isn't just theory. We are already paying the price every single day. First, the personal cost. When you don't own, you live in fear. Rent goes up, you panic. Your boss threatens your job, you panic. The price of rice goes up, you panic. Why? Because you don't control the fundamentals of your life. You're always waiting on someone else's decisions. That constant instability eats at your peace of mind, your confidence, and even your dignity. Second, the family cost. Think about our parents and grandparents. Many of them worked themselves to the bone, farming, selling in the markets, working jobs. But at the end of their lives, what did they pass down? Too often, nothing but debt. Children have to start from scratch again and again. And when families don't own, they can't protect themselves from being displaced. How many times have you seen families kicked out of compounds they lived in for decades? Simply because the paperwork wasn't in their name. That's the cost of not owning. Thirdly, the community cost. When local ownership is weak, communities lose stability. Let's take Serekundamaka as an example. If the majority of wholesalers are foreign owned, then the profits from our daily spending don't circulate in our communities. They leave the country. That means less reinvestment, fewer local jobs, and weaker community growth. Instead of building schools, clinics, and roads, the money flows out and the community stays stuck in poverty, even while money is flowing through it every day. And the fourth cost is the national cost. This one is dangerous. A country that doesn't own its economy is a country without sovereignty. If foreign owners control the majority of businesses, then foreign interests can cripple us with one decision. Imagine if tomorrow foreign-owned fuel companies in the Gambia decided to shut down for 1 week. Our transportation system would collapse. Markets would dry up. Businesses would stall. That's not just inconvenience. That's national paralysis. We've already seen a glimpse of this. When foreign investors pull out of agriculture projects, Gambian farmers are left hanging. When foreign hotel owners boycott, hundreds of workers lose jobs instantly. When international prices rise, our markets feel it overnight because we don't control supply. That's what dependency looks like. And the hidden cost is the lost opportunity. Every Dalasi spent in a foreign-owned shop is profit leaving the Gambia. Every lease signed with a foreign landlord is wealth flowing out. Every factory run by outsiders is another chance missed to build Gambian-owned industry. Over decades, that means billions of dollars is lost wealth. Wealth that could have built our schools, our hospitals, our roads, our businesses. And here's the most painful truth. While foreigners are building empires in the Gambia, too many Gambians are still thinking in terms of survival. We sell land for quick cash, not realizing that that land could be worth 10 times more in a decade. We rent for life instead of fighting to own. We celebrate jobs without questioning who owns the company. And so the cycle repeats. Foreigners build, we consume. They pass down, we start over. This is the true cost of losing ownership. It's not just about money. It's about dignity, sovereignty, and future stability. Because a people who don't own will always be controlled. And Africa has been controlled for too long. The question is, when will we finally say enough? Let's dive into some steps to reclaim ownership. We've laid out the problem. Too much of our economy is controlled by people who are not Gambians, not Africans, not invested in our long-term success. But problems without solutions only leave us frustrated. So let's talk about how we break that cycle and reclaim ownership. Step by step. Step one, we need to secure what is already ours. Before we even think about new investment, we must protect what Gambian families already own. Too many lands have been lost because of poor documentation, disputes, or elders passing away without wills. Every family must secure their land titles. Every family must normalize writing wills. If we can't even protect what our fathers fought for, how can we talk about building new wealth? And step two, we need to start pooling resources. Let's be honest, most Gambians cannot buy property or build businesses alone. But together we can imagine if every extended family contributed just $500 a month into a joint fund. Within a year, that family could buy land, start a shop, or invest in equipment. Imagine if youth groups created cooperatives that start farms or digital businesses. That's how communities around the world grow strong, by pooling resources and building together. And step three, we need to build businesses, not just hustles. Too many of us are stuck in small hustles that die when we get sick, tired, or distracted. That's not ownership. That's survival. We need to think beyond daily hustle and create businesses with systems, records, and structure. Register your business. Separate your personal money from your business money. Keep receipts. Train others to help you run it. That way your hustle can outlive you. And step four, we need to move from consumers to producers. Dependency thrives because we import what we should be producing. Look around. From rice to onions to even simple biscuits, the Gambia imports far too much. Every import is a lost opportunity for a Gambian producer. We must begin to think. If we consume it, can we produce it? If we produce it, can we package and brand it ourselves? That's how ownership is built. Not by working for someone else's factory, but by owning the factory. And step five, we need to leverage technology and AI. Ownership in today's world isn't just about land and buildings. It's about digital space. A Gambian youth with coding skills can build an app that serves thousands. A content creator can own their brand and monetize globally. Farmers can use AI to increase yields and protect crops. The playing field is global now. And if we don't claim ownership in the digital economy, we'll stay stuck in the back row of history. And step six, we need a cultural shift. This one might be the hardest, but it's the most important right now. Gambians and African culture often celebrate spending and not ownership. We glorify the flashy spender in the club, the one who shows off wealth, instead of the quiet investor building assets. We waste millions on ceremonies, funerals, and parties while neglecting to invest in schools, businesses, or land. That culture must die. Ownership must become the new status symbol. And step seven, we need to demand supportive policies. Yes, ownership starts with us as individuals and families, but governments have a role to play as well. We must demand policies that make land ownership secure, that protects small businesses from unfair competition, that gives youth access to financing without impossible collateral. If the policies only serve foreign investors, we'll keep losing ground. We must push for policies that prioritize Gambian ownership first. Breaking dependency will not be easy. It means discipline, unity, and long-term vision. It means saying no to selling land for cheap today, so your grandchildren can inherit it tomorrow. It means rejecting the illusion of quick cash and embracing the slow, steady building of real wealth. But here's the truth. The alternative is far worse if we don't reclaim ownership. We will wake up one day as strangers in our own economy, working in a land where every major decision is made by someone else. That cannot be our future. Ownership is freedom, and freedom is worth the sacrifice. Ownership is not just about you. It's not just about what you can enjoy in your lifetime. The real power of ownership comes when it outlives you, when it becomes legacy. The tragedy of African families. Too many of our families repeat the same story. One generation hustles, works hard, builds something small. But when the breadwinner dies, the land gets divided into useless pieces. The shop collapses, the money is wasted, and the children start from zero again. Every generation is forced to fight the same battle instead of starting further ahead. The cycle is not just frustrating. It's killing us as a people. Generational ownership is the solution. It's when one generation builds and the next continues. It's when children inherit land and not only secure but documented, so they can build on it. It's when businesses are structured in a way that children can step in and grow them instead of watching them die. It's when knowledge, skills, financial literacy, networks is passed on as carefully as money. We need to think land as inheritance, not a transaction. Too many Gambians sell land for quick cash. Once it's gone forever. Instead, families must view land as a sacred inheritance. Develop it, farm it, lease it, but do not sell it unless it multiplies value. A shop, a farm, or even a tailoring business doesn't have to end with one person. Train your children. Teach them accounting, management, and marketing. If they're not interested, pass it to another relative. But do not let it die. We have to teach our families financial literacy. Imagine if every Gambian child grew up knowing how to budget, save, and invest. Imagine if conversations about assets, wills, and inheritance were normal at the dinner table. That's how you create a culture of builders instead of consumers. We have to normalize writing wills and creating trusts. One of the biggest killers of generational wealth in Africa is family fights after death. Siblings become enemies, land gets wasted, businesses collapse. And why? Because there was no will, no trust, and no clear direction. Writing a will is not about death. It's about protecting life after you. So sometimes we think legacy is only cash and property. But legacy is also reputation, values, and vision. A family known for integrity will always have opportunities. A family with education will always have doors open. A family with discipline will always have direction. These intangibles are just as powerful as land or money. Why this matters right now is that Africa has the youngest population in the world. That means the decisions we make today, whether to sell or keep land, whether to build businesses or waste money, whether to talk about money or stay silent, will determine if the next 50 years are years of progress or another cycle of poverty. If we don't embrace legacy thinking, foreign-owned businesses will dominate, and our children will be left as workers in their own country. But if we start now, securing land, structuring businesses, teaching financial literacy, and planning succession, then our children will inherit not just struggles, but strength. The bottom line is, legacy is not optional anymore. It is survival. Without it, we will stay stuck in the same cycle. However, with it, we can finally break free and give the next generation a head start. And let me say it clearly. If your children inherit nothing but stories of how hard you hustled, you failed them. But if they inherit assets, businesses, knowledge, and values, then you gave them freedom. So what is the collective power of ownership pertaining to communities and nations? Ownership isn't just a personal thing. It's not even just about family. The real transformation happens when ownership becomes collective, when entire communities and nations decide to control their destiny instead of renting it from outsiders. Think about your neighborhood. If every shop, every taxi, every farm, every rental property is owned by outsiders, then no matter how hard you work, the profits leave. But if those businesses are locally owned, every delicacy circulates inside the community. That means jobs for young people. That means schools and clinics built by community contributions. That means stability. This is why cooperatives and group ownership models are so powerful. When farmers pool resources to buy tractors, they own the means of production. When youth groups start community shops or digital ventures, they own the value chain. Ownership at the community level creates independence, not just for one family, but for dozens. Zoom out to the national level. A country that doesn't own is a country that's always begging. Look around Africa. How many nations export raw materials only to import the finished product at 10 times the price? How many allow foreign companies to control their mining, their energy, their ports, their tourism? That's not sovereignty. That's dependency with a flag. The Gambia is no different. Foreigners own too many of the major businesses in the sectors like retail, hospitality, and wholesale trade. If one day those owners decided to pull out or boycott the market, the economy collapses overnight. That's how fragile dependence makes us. But here's the flip side. When a nation commits to local ownership, everything changes. Rwanda is a good example. They decided not to be just consumers. They invested in local industries, local airlines, local banks. And the results, they have more control over their future. We can do the same, but only if we prioritize Gambian ownership first. The power of circulation. Here's a simple truth. Money that leaves doesn't multiply. Money that stays does. Every time you buy from a Gambian-owned business, that money circulates. The shopkeeper pays a Gambian supplier. That supplier pays a Gambian worker. Those workers pay Gambian schools. But when you buy from a foreign-owned business, the profit leaves and your community stays poor, no matter how much money passes through. So we need a cultural shift at scale. To really break free, we need to make ownership a national value, just like other cultures. Teach their children to think long-term, invest collectively, and keep assets in the family. Gambians must learn to protect what we build. That requires education, unity, and pride. Not pride in consuming, import branding, but pride in building Gambian-owned. The big truth, no community, no nation ever rose by depending on outside to own their economy. Every success story from China to India to South Korea came when the people themselves decided we will own our industry, we will own our future. If the Gambia doesn't learn this lesson, we risk becoming permanent tenants in our own land. But if we embrace collective ownership, we can turn one Africa's smallest nation into one of its most resilient, because power is not in size, it's in control. We've said a lot tonight. Ownership is not about pride, it's about survival. If we don't own, we don't control. And if we don't control, we don't build. So here's your challenge of the week. Step one, I would like for you to take inventory. Write down everything you and your family currently own, be it land, property, businesses, savings, maybe even some skills. List it all. Don't underestimate what you have, even if it's small. And step two, I would like for you to spot the gaps. Ask yourself honestly, where are we vulnerable? Are we paying rent while we could be saving to own? Are we selling land instead of securing it? Are we hustling with no structure? Identify the holes that need to be closed. And step three, we have to take one step forward. Choose one concrete action this week that moves you towards ownership. It might be registering a business. It might be pooling resources with siblings for a plot of land. It might be teaching your children the basics of money. Whatever it is, do it. Ownership is not built by talking. It's built by action. Because listen, no foreigner is coming to secure your family's future. No government policy will magically hand you wealth. Legacy is built by ordinary people making extraordinary decisions. Roots and Hustles is not about survival hustling. It's about planting seeds that will outlive us. So don't just clap for this episode and move on. You need to act, secure, and build. Because the Gambia we dream of, the Africa we want, can only exist if its people own it. This is Roots and Hustle. Stay rooted, keep hustling, and remember, ownership is not luxury. It's the real freedom. See you next week.